بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، على من لا نبي بعده، ولا كتاب بعد كتابه، ولا شريعة بعد شريعته، ولا أمة بعد أمته. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن إبراهيم كان أمة قانتا لله حنيفا ولم يكن من المشركين. وقال تعالى: اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به، أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم، جزا الله عنا نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. Most respected honorable ulama kiram, hufaz of the Quran, brothers and elders, salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when discussing Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, introduces Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam that inna Ibrahim kana ummatan qanita lillahi hanifa, that Ibrahim alayhi salam, a single individual, is known to be an ummah. We know an ummah is a group of people, it's many people. Here, example, we consider ourselves as part of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And an individual will say, I am an ummati. I am part of the greater ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But for this special personality, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala classifies him as an ummah, that he is an entire nation. Listen, mufassirun explain that the life of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam is so rich with lessons for us as an ummah that there is a lot to be discussed and a lot we can gain from the life of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, it was his cry and dua that, O my Allah, in my progeny grant and bless a very special Nabi. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was from that bloodline of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. His worry and concern for the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam goes for the mi'raj, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam meets various anbiya alayhi musallam. Interaction had taken place, but a special Nabi had sent a special salam and a special message for a special ummah. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam was the one who tells Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, please pass my salams to your ummah. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam is telling Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam to pass the salam to every one of us. If it's the first time that we are hearing it, ulama explain and say, out of etiquette, then we will respond by saying, wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. But that privilege that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam sends salam for us, it means we are part of a very important ummah and a very special message. And that message was that Jannah is barren. And if you want to make it fertile, you want to inhabit it, then tasbihat, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, make the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this day, the day of Arafah, on the 10th of Dhul Hijjah, 25th of Dhul Qa'dah, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam departed from Madinah Tayyibah. 4th of Dhul Hijjah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enters Makkah Mukarramah. 8th of Dhul Hijjah was a Thursday, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam embarks on the 5-day mission, or we would say 6-day of Hajj. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with Sahaba radiallahu anhum leave for Mina. The 9th of Dhul Hijjah, in the Hajjatul Wada of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the day of Arafah was a Friday. And today, alhamdulillah, the day of Arafah is a Friday for us, so it's a great bonus. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on various occasions in the Hajj, addressed Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and left them with profound messages. In Arafah he addressed, in Mina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed Sahaba radiallahu anhum. But that, why is the day called Arafah? Different reasons as to why the day of Arafah, or why Arafah is called Arafah. Why is Arafah called Arafah? Some historians, Alaman Qurtubi rahimullah, says, when Adam alayhi salam with Hawa radiallahu anha had to leave Jannah and they settled on earth, then the first place they recognized and met each other was Arafah. The first night to be spent together was in Muzdalifah. So Arafah was the place. In some narrations, some mufassirun differ to say that Arafah is called Arafah because when Jibreel alayhi salam was explaining to Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, this is the place, that is the place, and explaining the different rituals in the different places, then this meeting took place in Arafah. And for me and you, Yawmu Arafah, why the day of Arafah? Because Arafah in Arabic means Arafah, to recognize. What we need and we are required to realize and recognize, we have to recognize that I am the humble servant of Allah. And Allah is the greatest. And Allah is my Rabb. That Ahdul Alast which we had taken, this day Arafah is to rejuvenate that flame to say, don't forget your pledge with Allah. Allah said, Alastu bi Rabbikum, am I not your Rabb? Now we are in the examination period. And the exam again will be taken on the day when we pass away in the grave. Simple question. Mar Rabbuk. You already know the answer. But it's not what you say. It's what you live that counts. What we lived is the answer we will be able to give in the grave. We have to live that recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why one of the dhikrs for the day of Arafah is we recite abundantly, La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la, lahul mulku wa lahul hamd wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. Excessive recitation of the dhikr. And also the takbir, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma used to walk in the marketplace and he would recite Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And at times, even before a transaction, he would tell someone, Allahu Akbar, and then he'll do the deal. Just to remind the person, this is the time to just remind ourselves, Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest. That whatever we are enjoying in this temporary passing phase of this dunya is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every single bounty is a test from Allah. It's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that recognition has to come that I am a humble servant of Allah. Whatever I'm enjoying around me is from Allah. When Allah wants to take it, He will take it. When we attach ourselves only to Allah, then the losses are very minimal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can take your most beloved of this world. You'll never fall in a depression because you still have Allah. And He is the most beloved. That we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to such an extent that the cutting off of any other person, I lose my car, I lose my job, that is very temporary. It's a limited loss, depression, and I'll feel down. Natural, we human, we built with emotions. But I immediately realize I belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the greatest. So this lesson of Allahu Akbar, incident comes to mind. A senior alim was explaining of an incident that he was dealing with. A lady was married and she was in the lap of luxury, splashing around with the amenities, facilities, luxurious. Alhamdulillah, lovely, she was spoiled. Her husband really spoiled her. She had the dream house. She had a vacation flat. She had everything. And then there was something detected in the marriage. It goes south, everything goes wrong, goes to an alim, eventually there was a divorce. And there wasn't much for her, she had the raw end of the deal, she lost the house, she never had much, she hardly looked after her. He says, I don't need to give you anything, it's only 3 months of maintenance. He forgot about the children, forgot about everything. And in that loss of hers, during her iddah, her mother passes away. That pillar of support who was there for her, that shoulder that she could at least rest her head on when she needed to cry, that mother also passed away. And it wasn't very long after that her father also passed away. Now she was really left like all alone. She comes to the senior alim and says, Mawlana, I really don't know where to turn. So Mawlana gives her some courage, some himmah. He speaks to her, you're never alone. You came because of the command of Allah. You're living with the command of Allah. Allah is listening to your cry. He says, but who is there for me? I'm not understanding. So eventually she had a very young child. Mawlana told her, start in your house, start doing ta'lim. She started doing ta'lim, reciting Quran, making the dhikr of Allah, listening to programs. And there was a renaissance in her life. Alhamdulillah, 360 she turned. And Mawlana is saying, you will see the results. She comes later, Mawlana, I'm not seeing the results. 5 years have gone, I'm reading Quran, I'm doing so much, I don't see the results. And then comes the time when she is in her 60s. And now she is diagnosed with 4th stage cancer. And the only people she has around her is 2 children. One born in the lap of luxury. Other reared because of amal in that house. So Mawlana says, you will see it. And only at 4th stage cancer, she writes a letter. She was too sick to travel. She writes a letter, says, take it to Mawlana. Tell Mawlana, now I see the barakat of my amal. And what was that barakah? That the son who was born in luxury, he's the one that say, Mommy, if you want, I can book you into the old age room. I'll pay all the fees. I will get someone, a caretaker for you, 24/7, one for the day, one for the night. Mommy, I'll sort everything out. But the moment she phones and say, better, you know, come and see me. I'm very busy, I'm making the money to pay all the expenses. And the other child who grew up because of ta'lim in the house, that child left work and says, never mind, for the sake of Allah, I will leave my work. Whatever I can do online, buy and sell, but I need to be at the side of my mother. So Mawlana, she's writing to Mawlana to say that Allah never abandoned me. At that moment, my child who, that last born, who was, I'll say my baby, never abandoned me. Mawlana says, because of your amal, because of your du'as, see the child is standing next to you. And alhamdulillah, she had a very mubarak death, passing away on a Friday, etc. But the lesson for us is, Arafah, we have to recognize we are the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, there are many aspects, as we say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had termed him as an ummah. There's so many things that can be spoken in the life. But the more we discuss the life of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, we will fall in love with that personality. And that's that akhlaq that we see even in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and beyond also. We would see more. But Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, a lot of lesson for us to take from his life. Ibrahim alayhi salam, initial interaction with his father when he is granted nubuwah, we see his life underpinned with tawheed, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ صِدِّيقًا نَبِيًّا. Now look at the interaction, father and son. إِذْ قَالَ لِأَبِي. He's talking to his father, giving him da'wah to believe in one Allah. And he says, يَا أَبَتِي. O my most beloved father. Father is a kafir. Listen, hate the sin and not the sinner. So he plays the ball and not the player. And he says, "Oh, my most beloved father," which means if we are dearly, sincerely worried about someone changing their life, you have to come from the angle of love rather than authority. If you're going to say, "This is how I want it," then it most probably may happen, may not happen. We don't know where it's. But if a person has to say, "Oh, my most beloved father," all the way in the incident of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, his father did not accept Iman, but the angle he comes from is a lesson for us. That when we give dawah to any person, the children, anyone in society, "Ya abati, lima ta'budu ma la yasma'u wa la yubsiru wa la yughni 'anka shay'a," why do you worship these things that do not hear, cannot see, and will avail you not in the akhirah? They will be of no avail. So he's giving dawah to his father, "La ta'budi shaytan." He says, "Oh my father, don't follow the footsteps of shaytan." La ta'budi shaytan. No person is worshipping shaytan. But if you are going to be worshipping those things, then shaytan is inevitably getting worshipped. And is ibadat restricted to just coming to the masjid and making a sajda? Yes, that is a form of ibadah. But what about the ibadah of the heart? That the heart has to bow down to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That whatever I accept is the command of Allah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of Arafah explained to the ummah that, "O ummah, two things if you hold on to, you will never be led astray. One is the Quran Sharif and one is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The ahadith mubarakah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these two things that we have. Ibrahim alayhi salam is giving da'wah to his father. And again in the 19th, the Jews of the Quran, he's giving da'wah to his people. He says, "Believe in one Allah. Alladhi khalaqani fahuwa yahdeen. Walladhi huwa yut'imuni wa yasqeen. Wa idha marittu fahuwa yashfeen." Simple elementary things that we need to instill within our children. If we plant the seed of Iman within our children, then we will reap the fruits of akhlaq, compassion, mercy later on in life. This is critical for every one of us as a lesson from the life of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. That this imani dars has to take place in our homes. We have to be talking about Allah. Or are we going to say they recite the kalima, they are Muslim? Is that sufficient? No, that's only the stepping stone. We have to continuously be reminding them, refreshing our allegiance and pledge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every time there is a talk about dunya, we will move in for a moment, but bring it back to akhirat. We will speak about the world, but immediately after that, we speak something about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Talk about the cars, and let them see that this car goes so fast. 0 to 100 in so many seconds. No problem. Very good. Talk about it. Yes, it goes so fast. Which is the fastest car? How expensive it is? And who landed his own Ferrari or Lamborghini from overseas and how much it costed him? Talk about it. But also talk about the moment you make your sajda, you are closest to Allah. Within seconds, no 0 to 100. Within seconds, you're in front of the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the day you die, you're not going to sit in that Lamborghini. You're going to sit in that same beer that everyone will sit in. Everyone's going to go into it. So we remind about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Move the focus back to akhirah. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is talking about iman. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, this lesson of iman, drilling this iman, Sahabi is sitting with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Anas radiallahu anhu says, "I was sitting with one Sahabi in the masjid, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam delivered some advice. We left the masjid, went to the marketplace, and I'm walking with this friend, a Sahabi, and we come to a person, and he says, 'How much is this commodity?' So he says, 30 dirhams. So this friend of mine's, Anas radiallahu anhu, is saying, the friend is saying, 'I'm interested. But no, I'll pay you 40. He says, "Why 40? The commodity is 30. I'm happy with 30, why 40? He says, no, hold on. Let me pay you 50. He's ready to pay the man 20 more. He says, 50 dirhams, let me take it. So Anas radiallahu anhu is looking at him, does the deal, pays the man extra, takes the commodity, taps him, he says, what's this all about? You pay him extra, he's telling you 30. Happy buyer, happy seller. Me, Abi, we razi, everyone's happy, let's carry on. So he says, no, we just came from the majlis of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. Your iman can never be complete until you don't love for your brother what you love for yourself. For me, that's the value. I would want to get that value. Why shouldn't I pay him that value? And we would wait for the person who is in a financial crisis, and he'll advertise something for the million rand, and you know he's hard pressed, he needs it. You need it. I got rock for you, 850. Hard cash, take it, 850, otherwise leave it. You know the man is in a crisis. I'm indebted, I need to pay. That's how it is. But brother, you can just go buy one shopping mall for 60 million also. He says, no, that's business. Business is business. But look, sahabi, look at the Jarir radiallahu anhu, who hears another hadith. He takes a pledge of allegiance on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wa nus'i li kulli muslim, to be a well-wisher for every believer. So he walks in the marketplace and he sees person selling a horse, famous incident. But to reignite that iman within us, so person is saying the horse is for 300 dirhams. He says, 300? You sure? He says, yeah. He says, no, make it 400. He says, okay, 400. He says, no man, what if it is 500? Eventually the price went to 700 dirhams. From 300 to 700. Some narrations suggest Jarir radiallahu anhu was walking away. Someone told Jarir, lovely horse, how much? He said 700. He says, okay, good price. He goes back to the seller. He says, here, just keep this 100 extra. I'm not too sure whether it's the right price or not. Just keep this 100 in case it's worth 800. He says, but why all of this? He says, if I heard my Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying something, I have to practice on it. وَنُسْحِي لِكُلِّ مُسْلِمِ, to be a well-wisher. Imagine hearing one hadith was sufficient. We come for a Jummah Bayan, 30 minutes, sometimes it's a big night and it's 1 hour, and sometimes you go for Ijtima and it's 3 hours. And we walk out, and why is there no change? Because iman is like a root. We're watering the branches, we forgot about the roots. Iman, the entire deen of Islam is the tree. The roots, that's iman. We have to be watering our iman on a daily basis. Why Suratul Fatiha every day? We know the message, we know what is meant. Why every day I say the same tasbihat? Allahu Akbar, Bismillah. Nothing changes. Because to remind us that it's not about how well you can recite it. Is it deep down in the crevices of your heart or not? Because what you live are the answers you're going to give in the grave. Marrabbuk. Marrabbuk is not what you said. It's the life that you lived. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq and that ability that we make an effort on our iman. Iman, there was an environment of iman in the house of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. Because of which, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam leaves his wife, Hajar, and a milk suckling child, goes out in the path of Allah, and comes in between for short periods of time, but majority of the time out in the path of Allah. And then comes a time, فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعَهُ السَّعِي, and he sees that his son can be a runner, meaning he can be of help and assistance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, now I want you to sacrifice your desires. Sacrifice him. You feel he's going to be a runner and an asset to you, now put the knife to the throat of your son Ismail alayhi salam. So sometimes these tests come to the people most beloved to us. Meaning sometimes we are tested with the most beloved things. And that's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam passed the test. But the question is, the moment he addresses his son, Nabi Ismail alayhi salam, how does he address him? فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعْهُ السَّعِي قَالَ يَا بُنَيْ. He says, "Oh my most beloved son." So when he dispenses love, he receives love. He gives the respect, he receives the respect. What goes around comes around. He didn't say, "Oh my son." In Arabic is ibni. He said, "Ya bunay." Oh my most beloved son. Response, not father, not abi. Ya abati. Oh my most beloved father. If almatu umar. So he gave the love, he received it. You give respect, you receive the respect. He says, "Oh my most beloved father." If almatu umar. Nothing to discuss. He's actually tabling a discussion. Revelation has come to Ibrahim alayhi salam. He's not telling his son, "This is how I want it." He opens the discussion. He says, "My son, I had a dream. I'm slaughtering you. What do you think about it? You also give me your thoughts." Mada tara? He says, "Without a shadow of doubt, do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has asked you to do." But where was that answer coming from? It was the imani environment that was in the house. Although Ibrahim alayhi salam was out in the path of Allah, but the imani environment was also with his wife. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was spoken about. Akhirah was reminded that we are the servants of Allah. We are in an agreement with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We belong to Allah. Ultimately, we all belong to Allah. We all are on the journey to return to Allah. So that is why he says, "Oh my father, do as you have to do and do what needs to be done." So that lesson of iman, number one, because of which Ismail alayhi salam responds and he says, "Ya abati fa'al ma tu'mar, satajiduni insha'allahu min as-sabirin." Insha'Allah, you'll find me amongst the very patient, insha'Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq, we make an effort on the iman of ourselves and the iman of the people around us in our homes, especially the progenies to come, our children, our offspring. This is very important. If we look in the present world, then the people of Gaza, they are surviving due to the iman. There's nothing else that keeps them surviving besides iman. Else, they are ready to pay you top dollar for your land. If you go to Palestine, there are areas or quarters we would call in the old city. Majority Muslim, portion for Christian, and a portion for the Jew. The Jew will come to a Muslim Palestinian and he will tell him, "You sell me your apartment." They will give you dollars, millions of dollars, for a small piece of land, which is not even worth that amount. Why? They just want you to, they're testing the waters to see whether your iman is strong or not. Are you really here for the land or are you here for the money? So the majority of them, alhamdulillah, there would be few exceptions. But that strength of iman, irrespective of the persecution, the violence, the atrocities, they're standing strong. And that is why you go to Mount Olives, if you remember, as you're climbing Mount of Olives, you see only one Jewish flag. Why? That entire area, predominantly or 99% Muslim, was 100%. One Palestinian decided to sell his land. He decided to sell for big money that time, whenever it was. So they got the piece of land, they will not use it. Just to say, "We can buy you, O Palestinian. We can buy you off." So they bought it. Before he received his money, he was killed. So the money was never even given to anyone in the family. They were served with notices, they had to leave, land is taken, but money was not given. Why? The man who signed the deal is dead. And a dead man tells no tales. So who's going to argue the case? He never got his money, but they got the land. And what's key keeping them strong in Gaza at the moment is the iman. How is it a person can lose four sons and say, "Alhamdulillah"? He says, four sons and alhamdulillah. Why? Because all four are shaheed. They never just die. They are alive. These four are all shuhada. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq that if any test has to come our way, the only thing that will keep us strong is our iman. And that's the effort we all have to be making. Money, al-malu ghadin wa ra'ih. Money never comes to stay. It comes, it moves, it goes around. Sometimes you see through the generations, what happened? They all were born on the throne. suddenly, few generations down, they're born on the streets. And those people on the streets are rising to the throne. Wherever we are, it's a seesaw, that's life. But iman is like some ulama say, is like a plane ride. The higher you go, the more smaller and insignificant the things at the bottom look. So the higher our iman, this dunya looks even more insignificant. Looks smaller to us to see, I'm on a more important journey here. Those are small toys at the bottom. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq. We make lot of dua inshallah for the people of Gaza. Allah accept everyone's qurbani and sacrifice. Accept the sacrifices around the world. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept. We worried about the blood of the animal before it touches the ground. We have forgotten the blood of the people of Gaza that daily is falling on the ground. And what about the people that are being massacred? At least we've got ahkam and laws to guide us how to slaughter an animal. Manslaughtering. When last did I cry for the people of Gaza? Manslaughter. Inhumane killing. Some of the doctors are saying the bullets that you find in some of these victims or some of these injured Palestinians is saying it's not something ordinary. In at close range, those bullets, Allahu Akbar. Only Allah be with them, Allah protect them, Allah help them. We make dua even that flotilla that is going, the Madeleine, let it reach with success. Let the pathway open up, inshallah. They imagine a non-Muslim can say, I am going for it because I want to create an awareness. Those are our brothers. That's our land. That's our people. And we are we. I'm not saying jump on the flotilla. I'm not saying join the Madeleine. At least join the people that are making dua, that are doing some ibadah, that are doing something to make a difference for the people of Gaza. We may be insignificant. We may feel, but I'm one person in the ummah. We don't know how important we are in the eyes of Allah. Every one of us is important. That's why Allah gave us iman. He loves us. He gave us iman because He appreciates us. So let us use our resources, our dua, whatever we can for the people of Gaza. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove the difficulties. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah.